We want to exalt ourselves with the word of God. After praising him, after worshiping him, we want to sit at his feet and listen to what he has for us for the evening. And so today we want to exalt ourselves and reflect on the topic, maturing in oneness. Maturing in oneness. I was just thinking to myself, I learned I was supposed to lead this exhortation and I was supposed to give something that has been on my heart. So I was thinking of what it was that has been on my heart that I would like to share with this family this evening. I said, okay, then I think this is the right opportunity to share that desire in me for the church of God to be one, because that is what the word of God actually tells us, and that is what God desires for us to. Oneness among ourselves, even as we are seated here. Oneness in our church, okay? I mean the Catholic Church. And oneness in the church as the body of Christ, the entire church, whether Catholic, whether Presbyterian, Pentecostal, oneness in the entire church of God. That is what we want to reflect and then share on this evening. We realize there's so much apathy. So much apathy. Sometimes when we are just within ourselves and we do not step out, then we don't realize what is happening. We don't realize the division that is in us, the division that is in the church of God. And I'm so glad that the hall is filled with youth this evening, because we are so much filled with, we are faced with this challenge of division. Sometimes if you don't take your time, you get so confused and you just decide to drop the faith all in all so that you'll be free, because there's so much confusion in the body of Christ. I don't know why it happened on my side that right from JSS. You know, I had Pentecostal friends. And so right from there up to SS and through, I was always faced with this challenge. I was always faced with it. Until I cried out to the Lord and he taught me not to worry about it because we were one. And he gave me things that actually kept me strong. And then I started growing. Because when you have that division and when you have that confusion in your mind, it only draws you back and back. Even when you are studying the word of God, you are studying to defend. You know that people will certainly attack you, so you are studying to defend. You are not actually studying to build up on your spirituality. So that is why I want us to share on this evening, so that we'll clear our minds of those divisions and then stand as one and begin to mature in the Lord in that oneness. Hallelujah. So we want to take our scripture readings. We are going to take two different readings. But first of all, we want to take a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Please, if you have your Bible, open and read along as I read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. As a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as I talk to people who have the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world. As children in the Christian faith, I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready for it, because you still live as the people of this world live. When there is jealousy among you and you quarrel with one another, doesn't this prove that you belong to this world, living by its standards? When one of you says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting like worldly people? After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are simply God's servants by whom you were led to believe. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I sowed the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. Hallelujah. Paul was addressing the church of Corinth, and he was telling them, look, I can't tell you mature things. I can't tell you spiritual things, because you people have not matured to that state. You are still living as people of the world. And so I still have to feed you with milk instead of giving you meat. And you know why Paul was saying that? Because there was still division and envy and strife among the people. Some were saying, oh, we are following Paul. And some were saying, we are following Apollos. He said, is this not carnal? Are you not thinking like people of the world? Is it not the same thing we are doing today? That is why I would say, I belong to church A. I belong to church B. And what even worse is the case is that even when we come into the Catholic Church, some are saying, I belong to this group. And I belong to this group. And we come into the renewal. And some are saying, I belong to this ministry. So I have nothing to do with the people of the other ministry. And some are saying, I belong to this one. Are we not being carnal? Just like Paul described the Corinthians at that time. I'm really glad that I don't see that in this group. I'm so glad that I don't see it in this group. But I say it so that we'll guard ourselves against it. We will go outside this group once in a while, and we need to be careful. Yet, lest we are deceived. Hallelujah. We want to read again from Ephesians 4, verse 11 downwards. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 downwards. It was he who gave gifts. The he here refers to Christ Jesus. Okay. It was he who gave gifts. He appointed some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers. He did this to prepare all God's people for the work of Christian service, in order to build up the body of Christ. And so we shall all come together to that oneness in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God. We shall become mature people, reaching to the very height of Christ's full stature. Then we shall no longer be children, carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind of the teaching of deceitful people who lead others into error by the tricks they invent. Hallelujah. New King James will tell you, so that we'll no longer be blown about by every wind of doctrine. I like it when he uses that word. We should no longer be blown about by every wind of doctrine. That is what is causing the division now. And so many others. So we'll come back to the scripture, but we want to look at it this way. What is it that causes the divisions in us? What is it that brings the confusion among us? Within our group, outside the group, within the church, outside the church, in the entire Christian body. What is it that causes the division? In this case, when I'm talking about the church, I am not talking about, churches that are not of God. We'll come to that. Discerning the right churches. Because if I say churches, doesn't just mean that every church, in quotes, is part of Christ's church. Hallelujah. First of all, St. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians that there is envy, jealousy, and pride. There is envy, there is jealousy. He didn't mention pride there. And that is what is causing the division. Because many of us are not seeing our gifts, but we are seeing the gifts of others. That is what is causing the confusion. Because many of us are feeling proud. Because you feel you have this and this and this gift. You think you are Ogoro. But the scripture tells us that even the gift he has given us is for the edification of the entire body of Christ. It's not just for you alone. So mind you, no matter the gift you have, it's for the body of Christ. And so you should come down to that level. Hallelujah. There is yet another thing that causes this confusion and division. And it is unnecessary competition. Unnecessary competition. We find this among Christians, unfortunately. You know, your Christian growth, okay? Where you have grown to, they are not going to use your brother's own to measure that and give you an award. Hallelujah. So concentrate on how you are growing. And stop comparing yourselves to, you know, people you consider lower than you and bringing unnecessary problems. I wish we had something that could measure people's spirituality. Then most of us would be disappointed because you do not know what is happening within somebody. And a lot of us consider others to be so inferior. We consider people to be so inferior. And it brings about a lot of divisions. I was sharing with somebody back on campus. By then, this thing used to worry me a lot. You know, because when I went, I couldn't freely attend other programs, you know, organized by other denominations. And sometimes they were really wonderful programs, okay? But I was not free in my mind. And so once I was chatting with somebody and I told the person, you see, the issue is these people criticize Catholics a lot. You go to sit there and half of the preaching is condemning your church. So how do you feel? And the person told me, Albina, do you know what? I said, no. He said, you do the same thing. What is your perception of the other churches? Create the right perception. And they will also have the right perception for you. Hallelujah. That is the problem. And then we are allowing the differences in doctrine to divide us. Difference in doctrine. Maybe we say we are Catholics. So as part of our doctrine, we believe in the rosary. We believe in praying through the saints. We believe in this. We believe in this. Somebody else says, no, I don't think it's really right to pray through the Blessed Mother. I don't think it's right to pray through the saints. Must you fight over that? Is that supposed to cause any separation between you? After all, the Bible says that until we all come to oneness in the faith. What is the faith that the Bible is talking about? It is about faith in Christ Jesus. And that should be our basis, not doctrines. Our doctrines guide us, yes. It helps us to walk on the right path. It helps us build on our faith. But that doesn't mean you should argue with somebody just because the person doesn't believe in your doctrine. The same way they also argue with you because you don't believe in their doctrine. And we are so much carried away by these doctrines. I felt sad back on campus. It came to a time, it was like most of my friends, okay, who were Catholics, they were leaving the church, just flowing like that. And then when you ask for the reason, it's nothing to write home about. Just petty things, mostly about the doctrines. So most of the time, at times I'll ask them, so if you go to so and so church, and tomorrow you get to hear that, oh, this and this about that church is not good and it's wrong, will you leave again and go to another church? I had a lady, we used to fellowship together. And sometimes when you are sharing the kind of questions this lady is asking, I suspected something. And later when I heard that the lady had, you know, moved from the Catholic Church, she became, is it SDA? I wasn't so surprised. This girl was so bothered about the issues of wearing earrings and blah, 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 blah. This is doctrine. It is pure doctrine. If you think the Holy Spirit is telling you not to wear earrings, if you don't wear earrings in Catholic Church, would they sack you? No. It's not an issue to cause division. If you think you are not supposed to perm your hair, if you don't perm hair in Catholic Church, would they sack you? No. So please, these are petty issues that shouldn't bring about confusion among us. Then some also think maybe your church, they are not prayerful enough. Who is preventing you from praying? And this inferiority thing seriously is eating into us. Somebody used to come to my room to share, you know, on scriptures. And it happened that most of the time when he comes, I'm not around. So he got closer to my roommate and they were always sharing. Then once my roommate came to tell me, the guy said, her church, she was a Methodist. In her church, there is no such environment for her to grow spiritually. So she should leave her church and come to his church. And the example he cited was that if by fellowshipping with him, she should start to pray in tongues, and then she goes back to her church. How many of her church leaders speak in tongues? So there will not be even any encouragement for her. And so she's going to, the gift is going to die out. I just laughed. Why do you have to look down on others? How many times have you attended her church? Even to study and realize that the leaders do not speak in tongues. And so that means that they are not spiritual enough. And that means that she must leave her church. Dear brothers and sisters, I just want us to be strong in our faith. Be strong where you are. And unfortunately, this same person I'm talking about right now, I don't know where his faith has disappeared to. It's rather unfortunate. He who was speaking in the tongues and evangelizing and all that, it's rather unfortunate that if I see him right now, I can't talk Christianity with him because he has gone far, far, far away. You see, there's a lot. We do not grasp the basis. There is a lot that we need to know. And so don't feel sad that you are in the Catholic Church. There is so much root, okay, that the church teaches us. And when we start growing from this root, and we finally stand, that is when we cannot be shaken. But if you just pick the faith from somewhere, and think you are growing and bloating, you will soon stumble and fall. Because the basis is not there. The roots are not there to hold you firm. I want you to be happy with where you are. Even the catechism we went through was not in vain. It is to keep you stanch where you are. And then just as you will not be happy when others despise your church, do not despise the church of others. Hallelujah. When we hear that this pastor has done this and this pastor has done this, then we start rejoicing. And we say, we'll see. They say the Catholic Church is wrong. We'll see. This is not something to rejoice over. We are supposed to be praying for the oneness of the body of Christ. You are not the one to rejoice over the downfall of a pastor, if indeed he's a man of God. See, we are human. So let's be careful how we look at others before we talk about how they look at us. Hallelujah. we want to see in our own ways, okay? Because when you look at all these differences, it boils down to the individual perception. And so if all of us here in this room would have that perception that the body of Christ is one, then there will be no confusion in our heads. And we'll be able to grow and mature even faster because we'll not have those unnecessary drawbacks. See, sometimes it's just because of ignorance, mere ignorance, that we allow such divisions. You don't know what is happening somewhere. A friend confronted me and told me in the face that Catholics were occults. And seriously, when I conversed with him, I realized it wasn't his fault. That was what he was made to believe, growing as a child. And so this kind of person, do you think that he will ever have anything positive in mind about the Catholic Church? No. Sometimes it's mere ignorance. So don't get so angry and disturbed over those issues. Sometimes it's mere ignorance. They don't know. And another friend who was a Hindu. Okay. This was my friend. She was a Hindu before she came to the university. It was there she came to convert. I was chatting with her, asking questions, and she told me, seriously, before she became a Christian, she believed that Catholics were not so different from Hindus. That was her conviction. Because she said, when they go to worship, they have statues, okay? Maybe when they say God is great, they'll build an elephant to represent his greatness. And then those kind of things. And they go to wave incense, they light candles, and all those things, okay? So because of those things, when they told her that, look, when they say you people don't believe in Jesus, it's not true. We are very similar to the Catholics. She believed it. And so when she converted first, okay, she used to see me as an unbeliever because she knew that Catholics were so close to Hindus. There was no much difference. So my dear, when somebody is accusing you so much, don't worry yourself about it. Don't go and refuse to sleep because of what somebody is saying. It's mere ignorance. I had several of those attacks from JSS all through. They were coming left and right. It's mere ignorance. They don't know. So if the person is ready to be educated, educate the person. If the person is not ready and just wants mere argument, find your way away because it wouldn't help. It wouldn't help. We are supposed to be one. And how do we overcome these challenges? Because certainly, maybe seated in this room, nobody, I don't think one of us will get up and go and accuse the other. But when you step out of here, it's in what that we don't have so many of people coming round to the houses for evangelism. Otherwise, even in our houses, we would have been facing such opposition. And how do we overcome that? Because we need to clear the confusion in our heads so that we'll not be reading scriptures to defend just our faith, but we'll be reading scriptures to grow. Hallelujah. And one way we can do that, first of all, is to respect others. If you are charismatic and somebody is not charismatic, respect the person's opinions. Sometimes there's so much that even the non-charismatics know. But because we think we are charismatic, you think you are all-knowing and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Who says the person doesn't have the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's not manifesting the way you want to see it. But let's learn to respect one another. Respect the other church. Respect the other groups in the church. Respect the other ministries. Because we are all supposed to stand to build up that one body. And then let's learn to pray for one another. Pray for one another. Over the past 2 years, I noticed something that on Good Friday, the prayers we usually kneel and stand in, those ones, I don't know if you've noticed them. I don't know how we call it. But that time when they are doing those great prayers, the church prays for our other brothers and sisters who are not part of the Catholic Church. The day I heard that prayer, I felt something within me. I was like, wow. So the church actually recognizes and acknowledges that even those who are not part of the Catholic Church and yet profess that one faith are part of the body. They are part of the body of Christ. And so if the church is realizing this and praying for them, and the prayer it actually offers is for the oneness. It prays that we all will become one. Then who are you to sit down and condemn? Hallelujah. So you see, sometimes our arguments are baseless. We don't have reasons to argue. And we don't have reasons to be confused. Our church sees us as one and prays for that oneness. So I want you to pray for that oneness too. If there is something troubling you, Paul says, even Paul and Apollos, one planted and one watered, but it is God who made the seed grow. So it doesn't matter who is pastoring you. We are one. And it is the faith that we should hold on to. Hallelujah. And then let's also focus on using our various gifts to build the body of Christ. The gift that you have, use that. And don't start comparing it with others. You know, it's very possible that somebody was created and his purpose in the body of Christ is just to clean the church daily. You receive your gift and then start considering this person inferior because you think your gift is higher than the person. You'll be the one to be cautioned because the person would have done her work very well. And on the day of accountability, you would be found wanting. So concentrate on using your own gifts and stop seeing people as inferior. And then let's learn to see Christ in one another.